As I said before, I think the kids did a better job than most of you did on that hello. So let's give God another shout of praise, okay? Cool. We have some special guests with us today, members of Carol's family. It's Mike and Sandy, I believe. Where are you? Ah, here we go, right here in the front. They are missionaries from Thailand. So if you get the chance, please. We welcome them back here, and we hope you enjoy your stay with us and stuff like that, and the time you can spend with the family and stuff. I know it's very, very special. Very special. You ever really given any thought to how fragile and tenuous life is? I mean, you know, most of us go through our days and stuff like that and don't really think about tomorrow or what the future has in store unless we get hit with something that is hard. I mean, we see people struggling and going through difficult times and we sympathize with them and stuff like that, but it really doesn't hit us home until it hits home. It's one of us that's going through it. This past week, I think most of you saw in Facebook that little Maddie Anderson, a beautiful child, no more than a little over 2 years old, has been told that there's nothing more they can do for her in her battle with the cancer that has racked her body. We've watched over time on Facebook, and many of us have grown to love this little warrior because she has been so strong. She has faced all the chemos and all the tests and the infections and all the different things that have had to go on. And we've prayed hard that God would restore her and give her back to us so that, you know, this family could have her for all the years that she could have. But God has said no. And so unless he intervenes, little Maddie will be gone from us here shortly. It's things like that sometimes that hit us, you know, between the eyes. And when it does, it causes us to think about life. It causes us to think about the different things that are going on and stuff. But as I said, there's still something, there's a little bit of a distance between us and those type of situations. And so it doesn't really seem to stick in our hearts or in our minds, and we just continue to go on. I mean, sometimes we talk about the issues and the struggles and where we are in this day-to-day walk. We share them with other people and stuff like that. And sometimes we, you know, we get a little impatient with what's happening and stuff. And that little bit of impatience sometimes gets us into big, big trouble. I know that when I have looked at the aspect of things in my own life, most of the time, whether it be in my prayer life or whether it be in my daily walk, it seems that I have a battle with this thing called impatience. Most of you have heard that comic line that says, "Lord, give me patience, and I want it now." And we know how foolish that prayer is, because patience is learned through adversity and going through the fire. It's not something that you can read in a book or something that you can take a pill for or anything else and suddenly have it manifest itself within us. And sometimes as we go through this battle with patience and stuff, we do things that are kind of foolish or maybe even dangerous. There's a couple of guys in here who I know exactly what I'm talking about. But we don't think about the consequences or the impact of what our impatient behavior might cause or might lead to. As I said, I think that sometimes also pertains to our prayer life. How often do you pray simply to pray? Most of us don't. Most of us find ourselves praying perfunctory at, you know, at dinner or maybe before we go to sleep at night. Sometimes we pray because it's the obvious thing to do when we're with people or when we're around things and stuff like that. But How often do we simply pray for the purpose of prayer? To praise God, to thank Him, to acknowledge Him, to worship Him, to recognize who He is in our life as opposed to what could be in our life. It's not something that we do naturally. It's something that I think sin tries its darndest to put a barrier between us and it, because Satan knows that it's the most powerful weapon that God has ever given us to communicate, to talk with Him, and to deal with the situations, the difficulties, the struggles, and the unfairness of the things that happen in our lives. You know, when you look back at the Old Testament, you can see time after time situations like that and struggles that the Israelites went through as a consequence of what they were doing. And there was a time I hated the Psalms. To me, reading the Psalms was nothing more than reading about a bunch of whining losers who had God in their presence so many times, and yet what do? Every time they stubbed their toe, or every time they did something, meh. Yeah, obviously I didn't understand the Psalms at all. And it took a professor at Great Lakes Christian College to help me understand the beauty and the significance of what the Psalms were. I watched him cry. I mean, you know, this is a grown man. Here's the professor teaching our class, and he's talking about the Psalms and how much it means to him and how much he lost all of his research and all of the notes and records that he had through an accident, and cry about that loss. And I thought, wow, if this meant this much to that man, I obviously need to spend a little more time on figuring out what this was. And so as I started to read the Psalms and I began to understand the Psalms, I began to see that they were nothing more than some of the most powerful prayers that anyone could ever lift up to our Lord. And quite often it was because of adversity. Quite often it was because of the difficulties and the things they were going through. And if you looked at the life of the Israelites, you could see that time after time after time, they did things that was just plain downright stupid. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I mean, here was a bunch of people who were in captivity and were freed by God. The only one who could have done it and did do it through the plagues and through all the other things. I mean, things that were supernatural that they witnessed God doing. And yet, they seemed to forget. They walked across dry land in the middle of the Red Sea. And yet they seem to forget. They come out strong. They see God on the mountain at Sinai. And Moses goes up there and he's talking with God. But because Moses has gone a little too long, they get scared and decide they're going to make a golden idol. And so after all that they had been through, after all they had seen of God acting in their life, these boneheads, as I would put it, turn away from Him and start worshiping idols that did nothing for them in their captivity, that did nothing for them in their exodus, and couldn't do anything for them now, rather than wait patiently for Moses to come back down from the mountain and to share with them what God had for them. You know the story. He brought the Ten Commandments down from the mountain, and in a rage at seeing what was going on, he threw them on the ground in front of them. And it was a disastrous event. You'd think that at that point the people would have woke up and decided, maybe we ought to pay attention here or something. But we also know the story that it wasn't long before, as they were led to the crossing into the promised land, they sent spies into the land, and the spies came back, and 10 of them said, oh, there's giants over there, you know, and there's all these scary things. And Caleb and Joshua said, wait a minute, didn't God say He would be with us? Didn't you see Him destroy the armies of Egypt? in the Red Sea? Didn't you see how he has taken care of us and provided for us everywhere? And yet you guys don't want to go across and give what he's giving us? And yet the people chose to trust in their weakness rather than to trust into the God that had taken care of them so far. Moses struggled with that. And Moses, I think in Psalm 90, shows us something that we really need to look at and understand. Next slide, please. We see that in the scripture that God, in his anger with the people, had said that, you know, the Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until the whole generation of those who had done evil in his sight was gone. What was happening was is that God said, no one over the age of 20 will live to walk into the promised land. Now think about this. There were over 1 million Israelites that left Egypt. And now he says, no one over the age of 20, except for Caleb and Joshua, who were faithful, are going to live to go into the land that I promised that I would give you. I mean, I promised it all the way back during Abraham's time, to Isaac and to Jacob. But you'll see the consequence of your behavior. Moses, who had struggled and everything else to lead these people, he contended with them every day. And as he went through and as he walked these desert paths with these people over those 40 years, I'm sure that at times his heart had to have been broken. Especially because every morning when they would wake up and prepare to move on to the next place that God would take them, they would leave behind a whole field of freshly dug graves. People that he may have known, people that he cared about, people that he loved, because of their actions and behavior, would die. And every day, out of that 1 million people, perhaps hundreds, perhaps thousands, would die and have to be buried and walk along. In this psalm, we see that Moses is struggling with the aspect of what was going on because they had not followed what God had given them. Sound familiar? How many times have you felt the God leading you to do something or telling you something or something in that conscience that says, I should, and you ignore it? Or more importantly, there's something that you want that, you know, isn't really the best thing for you or maybe isn't the healthiest thing for you or whatever, and you go, it'll be okay. More than one morning, I've woke up hung over the steering wheel of my car going, what in the heck have I done? And except for the grace of God, it could have been a whole lot worse than what it usually was. Next slide, please. In this psalm, what we see is that Moses prays. And he goes into his tent, and he prostrates himself on the floor of the tent, and he starts to pray to God. And as he does, in these first two verses, he finds himself in awe and reveling in the aspect of who God was. He found comfort in the fact that there was relief in the eternity of God. While all else faded, while all else fell away, while people died to the right and to the left of him, the one thing that was constant, the one thing that was steady for him was God. As he said, before the mountains were born, you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. You say it another way, it's from eternity to all eternity. God is God. Infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being. Wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth, all are characteristics of this God that not only took care of the Israelites and Moses, but is a part of each and every one of our lives today, so many years on. Next slide, please. But then as he goes on, he begins to compare the agelessness of God and the magnificence of God to the fragility and the tenuousness of mankind. He does it in an interesting way because as he laments, he recognizes that at one point in time, you know, they lived to be over 1,000 years old. 1,000 years old. Put that into perspective. The United States of America hasn't even existed yet for a little more than 240 years. And yet, the Israelites in the beginning were living to be in, well, look at Noah. I mean, look at Noah. How'd you like to be 600 years old and be told, hey, build an ark? Well, if you put that into perspective of us, that'd be kind of like at 60 being told, hey, build an ark. Thing was, though, is that he had the strength, he had the stamina. I mean, he had three sons when he was 500. Whew. I guess back then it was a whole lot better living long than it is today. But man suddenly finds himself being much less in life. Matter of fact, Moses says that it's just a fraction of a watch to you. Now, back in those days, a watch was 6 hours. That's how long they stood watch. And so when you think about that, and when Moses is saying that a man's lifetime is nothing more than a moment in time, and a moment in of a watch, I can't even fathom that. To me, it's such a large thing when I think of the fact that God is eternal, as compared to my 60, 70, 80 years that I might possibly have on this world. To us, it seems like such a long time, the life that we have. I mean, the oldest person in this room probably is in, what, your 80s? But even that is nothing. A blink of an eye. And like Moses says, even with that, we don't even really take note of the passing of time when we are involved with it. I mean, Martin Luther said it when he said that we know that sleep is such a thing that it ceases before we can perceive it or even mark it. Before we are aware that we have slept, it's gone and it's ended. Therefore, truly, our life is nothing else than a sleep and a dream. For before we are rightly conscious of being alive, we cease to live. How many of you remember the dreams that you had last night? One or two? On occasion, you know, I can remember a dream that I had last night, at least for a few hours. But by evening time, I've forgotten what those dreams were. Heck, I can't even remember what I was doing yesterday, let alone something more than that. C.H. Spurgeon said that life is like the grass. It is sown, grown, blown, mown, and gone. Man's life really is such a short and tenuous thing. And that was something that Moses was recognizing in his prayer. When he was talking to God about this, he recognized how glorious God is, and yet how tenuous and how short man's life is. But who is the center of the universe? Me. You. When you think in terms of yourself. You think in terms of I. The world rotates around you, at least mentally. You may not live that way, or try not to live that way, but think about it. I'm going to do this. I want that. All the world is run by the word I. Next slide, please. While we know that death was the result of sin and its entrance into the world, Moses realized that what was happening in the life of the Israelites was a special visitation by God upon those people for their transgressions. And so as he goes through this prayer, and as he's recognizing the wonder of God and the shortness of time that man has, he goes on to say, we are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. Every moment of the day, every second of time, our sins stand before God. And if it weren't for Jesus, that would be the continuing case even today. Each and every one of us would stand convicted of our sins and would have the death penalty hanging over our heads. But thank goodness for Jesus, because that death penalty has been removed. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80, if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away. Sounds like there ought to be a hymn with those words, doesn't it? I'll fly away. Yeah. We go from a time when Methuselah is living 969 years to a time when the people are living, if they're lucky, if they're blessed. There's no such thing really as luck, but if they're blessed, to live maybe 80 years. And some of the people that were in that exile, on that exodus, who traveled through that desert, they perhaps saw 70 or 80 years. Because that's how long they lived, what age they were when it started versus the age they were when they died. But every day of that life was trouble, was toil. They wandered through the desert. Their food was provided, but what did? They grumbled. At other times they complained and stuff. And every time they did, what happened? God would show them the fallacy of what they were. The quail that he gave them brought them disease. The rebellion brought them snakes. All these different things that they struggled through that time. And if you look at it, you can see that this is the result of their disobedience. What about ours? What are the things going on in our lives due to our disobedience? You know, some of us have gone through some pretty difficult things and pretty tough times. Some of you are right now. Do you realize? Have you evaluated? Have you examined? Have you looked to see if perhaps there is an unrepentant sin that is in your life that you have not turned over and given to God through confession? And so as a result, you're paying the price for that iniquity? God does not take away the consequences of our choices. He merely promises us that he'll be with us through every step of the battle as we go through those consequences. And as we pray, are we recognizing that and are we accepting that? You know, all too often we ask God to take this away from us, but we never ask him, God, show me what I have done. Show me what sins are in my life that I need to ask forgiveness for, that I need to give to you so that my life will be as it should. And so we struggle and we battle. And so for many, as it says, our days may come to 70 or 80 if our strength endures. Today, we have the exact same struggle. We have the exact same struggle. Next slide, please. As Moses was in awe of God and the power of his anger, so should we be. God is great. God is awesome. God has the power to change things in our lives in an instant. We've seen miracles. We know of people who have been blessed with curings and have been delivered from things that man couldn't handle, man couldn't do anything with. And yet, as he got up every morning, the toll of death was a sign that God's anger still burned against the Israelites because of their stiff-necked stubbornness. And what he knew was not going away because they sinned again, and they sinned again, and they sinned again, just like we do. We're not under the same curse that they are, or they were. But we are under the judgment of our sin. And we will be under the judgment of our sin. Even though God has forgiven our sins and has taken them away from us, he has not taken away the consequences of that. And so until we die, we will continue to live with the results of that. I have scars and marks on my body that are there because of stupid things that I've done. And guess what? When I asked God to forgive me for that stupidity and stuff like that, he didn't take away the busted and malformed fingers. He didn't take the arthritis from the fractured ankle or the busted up body when I, you know, was drunk and did something stupid. I'll live with those for the rest of my life. But at least I can take comfort in knowing the fact that God will be with me through every step and every battle of that life. Teach us to number our days, he says. You know, when Patrick and I were talking about this message, we were talking about this scripture, he loved that aspect of teaching us to number our days. If we did more of that and less of the worrying, we would be so much more blessed. You know what we do? We think about tomorrow. We got plans for what we're going to do tomorrow or maybe next week or this vacation. How many of you are already planning what you're going to do next weekend with Labor Day? Come on! I know there should be a whole lot more hands in the air than that. Everybody's thinking about, well, it's a long weekend. We're going to do this. Well, you know, that's kind of out of context now that we're doing with this COVID thing. But still, it's that last hurrah. It's that last bit of summer that we're going to celebrate before school and this thing called fall, and then winter shows up. But how many times do we think more about tomorrow than we realize the moment we have right now? How many of you right now, sitting where you are praising God and thanking God that you can even be in this room at this time and in his presence in prayer and worship? You see, we throw away our moment now for the hopes of something tomorrow. A tomorrow that isn't promised to us and a tomorrow that may not even be here for some of us. Because we never know the number of our days. It makes me almost want to cry when I think of Maddie. Such a beautiful, beautiful little child. Yet the doctors tell her she only has days, weeks, maybe a month or a little more. A child that has so much promise for the future. And yet, we need to celebrate every single moment that she is in our presence. Just like you need to celebrate every moment that you have of the loved one that's sitting beside you. Or that you care about or that you love that may not be here today or may be out there in TV land. God says, celebrate now. Pay attention to what's going on now. Jesus says we weren't to be anxious because worry, it can't even add an hour to our life. Ephesians 5 says that we need to be careful then how we live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Enjoy the moment you have right now. Praise God that you are able to breathe. If you had COPD or emphysema, it wouldn't be the same. You're blessed. Thank God for the blessing that you have. Did you walk in here? And then Moses' prayer asked God to relent and to forgive them, to let them live out the remainder of their days in peace and in comfort. And you know, the interesting thing here is that as he does, he also goes on to say, you know, and give us as much of a time of goodness as the suffering we have been through. I'd have to have a whole nother lifetime if God was to bless me that way. Next slide, please. As for me, I loved this part of Moses' prayer. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. How many of you are blessed to have skills that you have been able to put to use for the kingdom, for your family, for your loved ones? I look over here at the Dills. How many of you have been blessed by the meals that they have prepared? Yeah! And I see Sue and Kathy Gray, and I think, how many people have been blessed by their organization and their administration and their ability to do the food once a month? Do you know how many families are fed through casting bread? And I see, I'm telling you, when this man gets up here and he gets into that guitar, sometimes the riffs and stuff that he does sends chills up and down my spine because of the gift that God has given him to be able to play a guitar. And I listen to the voices as they sing and stuff like that, and I'm lifted up and I feel good and I feel excited and I want to praise God because God has blessed them just as he's blessed all of you. There isn't a person in this room who God has not blessed with skills, with gifts, in order to enhance, to advance, and to bless the kingdom of God. We have two missionaries sitting right here in our midst who have taken the courage to get up and to go someplace that most of us don't want to go. It's hot there. I don't like hot and humid. Yet they're taking God's word there and preaching God's word in a place that's not safe. Can you think of any better blessing than to serve our God and to use the gifts and the skills that he has given us to bring glory to his name? I can't. You know, this prayer of Moses is so powerful. Because he's going through this whole thing, and we need to learn from this prayer. Next slide, please. All Scripture is good. All Scripture is valuable for the purpose of learning, for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting. All of those wonderful words that we see in the Bible. But first and foremost, when we look at a prayer like this, we need to never lose sight of the fact of God's eternal majesty and even the nature of God. We need to recognize how fragile life is. And it's only by the grace of God that we have what we have, and we are what we are, and we can be what we desire to be. We need to recognize our sinful nature before God. God will not have sin in his presence. We need to unload that. We need to get rid of that. We need to confess that so we can have one. And Lord, please, show me the things that I don't know or remember so that I can unload that baggage too. Because sometimes people are carrying a big baggage train behind them because they don't want to look back and recognize that it's back there. We need to recognize how brief life is on this earth. Those of you that are considered elders, older, congratulations, and I hope you've been blessed through your life. But I know some men in particular who have groaned for their whole life because of the pain and the struggle they've been in. And we need to seek God's grace and favor in all we do. You know, each week we've heard a different aspect of prayer. Patrick has taught us on the aspects, and Mike and stuff, about its power. You know, its blessing, God's faithfulness to it. And just as Moses found comfort in his time of prayer with God, we need to take that same time, and we need to feel that same comfort. We need to take that appreciation. We need to praise and acknowledge our God for who he is in our life. It's not a bunch of mumbo-jumbo. It isn't a formula. It isn't things that we should do before dinner, before we go to sleep and stuff like that. It's something we should do every single moment of our day. I hope and I pray that you guys sitting up here in front have a full life to enjoy the wonder and the pleasures of God. And I'm scared to death of what the future holds for you when I see what's happening in this world. And so I pray that you'll have those days and that God will be with you every step of the way. God gave us prayer for the purpose of communing with him, loving him, praising him, acknowledging him, humbling ourselves before him. We need to use it wisely. We need to use it often. Because when we do, we are going before a God that loves us more than most of us or any of us can really understand and appreciate. You know, Patrick will be finishing up this prayer series in the next week or so. And I hope you've gotten as much out of this series as I have. And I hope that you've learned through his teachings and stuff on this issue. But please, 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 if nothing else, spend more time in prayer. Spend more time with God. Your life will be made richer for it. Let's pray. God, you are the creator and the sustainer of all life in this world, and every breath we take is a gift from you and to be treasured. Without you, we can do nothing. Help us to seek your face in every moment of our lives. Help us to trust in you more, in your wisdom, your faithfulness, and in your love. Forgive our sins and guide our steps in life. Give us compassion and empathy for those who are struggling, and let us use the little time we have that we call life wisely and in honor of you. May you be glorified and lifted up in all we do. Amen.